Good morning, class. We're so glad that you're here with us today. I appreciate what Miss Paula was just saying about prayer rules the world. And it does. So goes the church, so goes the world. God instituted that way back in time, and he said, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Should not be a democratic party ruling the world, should not be a Republican party ruling the world. It should be the church that rules the world, and we rule the world on our knees. On our knees. Mary, Queen of Scots, that was there in Scotland, that was the queen, she said, I would rather hear the marching of England against us than to hear that John Knox is on his knees praying. She feared the praying of John Knox, which was a powerful believer, preacher, missionary at that time. Praise God. So thank you, Miss Paula. And then Lorraine mentioned about verse 37, and we've been teaching on that, what to do when there's impossible circumstances. We dealt with four areas last week. What to do, having faith. It's all about getting the mountains moved out of our life, moving the obstacles out of our life. And yes, I just heard that Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's not a mountain, you know. Sometimes it may be a hill, you know. May not be real big, but God wants to take care of those things too. He's concerned about the small things in our life. Not just always a big thing. He's concerned about every area of our life. I mean, your power bill. He wants that paid. I mean, you know, your car note or whatever, or your dog taken care of. It's the small things too. God is the God of little things and small things, not just big things. And we're thankful for that. So I'm going to continue this morning. All through last night, because I know I'm in this vein of thought, What do we do when we're facing mountains, when we're facing impossible situations? What do we do? How do we act? How do we respond? How do we react? And all through last night, it just kept coming to me in my spirit. I was like up at 1 o'clock, and I was back up at like 4 o'clock. And when I'm awake, I'm not, let me help you with something. When I'm awake, I'm not fretting. You hear what I just said? Mm-hmm. When I'm awake, I'm not losing sleep over fretting over things. When I'm awake, I'm praying. I'm confessing the word. I'm speaking the word. I'm dreaming about ministries and things that we want to do. So all through last night, the scripture kept coming to me, or the thought kept coming to me, what to do when you feel like you're surrounded. Or, I'm going to put it this way. This is what I wrote down because it's throughout the night. What to do when you feel like you're outnumbered. Okay? Constantly in life, we hear about the odds. You know, of course, Las Vegas, you know, they play the odds, you know, and betting. When the games are being played on Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays, you'll hear all the prognosticators on the television saying, well, they're going to win it by 40 points, or this one's going to go down to the wire, or they're just really outnumbered. They're out better. They're out better players, better coaches. They're playing at the, they got a home field advantage, you know. Oh, the weather's going to play a big role in the game. You know, that's what they were saying last Sunday about the Chiefs, and those prognosticators totally missed it. When you got a quarterback like Pat Mahomes, I mean, it's going to be a pretty good day for us. It really, really is. And the great thing is he's an incredible Christian. That's what I'm so blessed to hear this. Last week I was hearing someone giving the testimony of what they heard him speaking and saying and praying. And it's just like a very good friend of mine right now His grandfather went through prostate cancer last year and took off a sabbatical for 3 months. In the same year, their little grandson, John, discovered a brain tumor with cancer, and he's been going back and forth with radiation. And just last week, they were on their way back because it had come back again in his brain. Beautiful young little boy. I mean, looks like his dad, looks like that whole bunch. They all look alike. And just have been praying for that little boy. And last week, some way or the other, they got in with a sports writer or an agent. Someone knew someone that knew somebody. And they got him into Coach Saban's office. And he was in there, and he had all of Coach Saban's championship rings on his fingers. And he was saying, "I'm a winner. I'm a winner." And I remember preaching at that very church, telling a little boy that's now a young man, telling him to get in the mirror every morning and saying, "I'm a winner. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. God is for me." And we were 2 years ago sitting on the steps right in front of Bryant Denny Stadium. And I heard someone say, "Brother Robert," or "Pastor Robert." And I looked around, and there was Cassie and her husband. And there this little boy was like this when I used to tell him to do that. Now he's just like this. And Cassie said, "Brother Robert, ever since you told him to do that, he's told that. He still says that." And we've raised our children just like you told us to. Incredible deal to tell their kids. So what do we do when we feel like we're outnumbered? I want you to go with me this morning to Psalms chapter 1. This is one of my favorite Psalms. Psalms chapter 121. Okay? Psalms 121. We're talking about this morning what to do when you feel like you're outnumbered, or it's stacked against you, or the odds are not in your favor. I just heard that. Yes, I just heard the Holy Spirit. You can write this one down. He is the God of the odds. He is the God of the odds. Did you hear that? He is the God of the odds. I don't care what the odds say. If God is involved, it doesn't. And I don't want to get ahead of myself this morning. It doesn't matter, okay? But He is the God of the odds. Praise God, okay? Psalms 121. Oh, I'm loving it. We got one of our screens back. Ethan kind of worked on those for us yesterday, okay? So are you ready? What to do, I'm speaking this morning on what to do when you feel like you're outnumbered. You better listen to this today. You may need this in the next few weeks. You may need it tomorrow. You may need it later on today. Okay, number one, what to do when I feel like I'm outnumbered. Number one, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. What are we going to do? We're going to lift up our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help. But now our help doesn't come from the hills. Did you get that? Because in verse number 2, my help, everybody say my help. My help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. So number one, write this down. We have a divine helper. We have, I didn't say an earthly helper, okay? We talked about the strategies of the games, and they got the best coach, and they got the best quarterback, and they got home field advantage, and they're going to play in the snow, they're going to play in the rain, it's going to be hot. None of that matters to God, because number one, we have a divine helper. Praise God. Let's read on. We're going to come back to that. Okay? We've established, number one, we got a divine helper. Okay? Let's go. Let me put this in there. God will not suffer thy foot to be moved. And we're going to go to Psalms 91, but not right now. But we're going to go there this morning. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. And this is where God woke me up this morning with this verse. This is the verse that I was awakened with. Verse number 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Okay? And he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Okay? The word slumber and number go hand in hand. They rhyme, don't they? So when we're outnumbered, he that doesn't slumber keeps us. He protects us. So number 2, we have a divine keeper. Not only a divine helper, we have a divine keeper. But let's go on this morning. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper. Okay? The Lord is the shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve. How many likes preserves? The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall provide thy going out, thy coming in, from this time forward and forevermore. Number 3, we have, notice this, we have a divine overshadowing us. Get that. He is overshadowing us. Okay? And then we read on, the Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Number 4, and I want to say this correctly, he is a constant or a divine constancy. He is constant in his help. He is constant in keeping us. He is constant in overshadowing us. You are never alone. Praise God. 4 things this morning. He's our divine helper. He's our divine keeper. He's our divine overshadowing. He is our divine constancy, or he is a constant help in our life. A constant means never ending. Never constant. He's never ending. He's never changing. Praise God. Praise God. Are you getting that this morning? So, 4 things I want you to know about when you feel like you're outnumbered. And Don, go and go to Psalms 91. Number 1, we have a divine helper. We must know where our help comes from. Isn't there a song? I know where my help comes from. I think there's a song we sing. I know where my help comes from. When we understand where our help comes from, we will understand that his power is unlimited. Okay? I'm going to give you a word this morning, or more than one, but I'm going to give you a word here this morning, and it is the word omnipotent. Okay? As some people would say that don't quite understand how to use that word, they would say he's omnipotent. Yeah. We laugh at that, but does anybody know what the word potent means? It's powerful. It's dynamite. That portion you gave me was potent. That was potent. Ooh, I taste that food. That was potent. And we'll get this other TV going or monitor going, because Paula could just type that definition for potent. Okay? So to be your helper, understand that God is omnipotent. Okay? The word omnipotent means all-powerful. Okay? All-powerful. He's not only omnipotent. I'm going to give you another word. He is, I'll break it down where you can understand it. He is omnipresent. Omnipresent. He is all powerful. And omnipresent means everywhere. So he's all powerful in all places. So there is not a place that you will ever get in that you cannot and will not feel the power of God. Did you hear that? So he's omnipotent or omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's omnipresent, okay? I'm going to give you another word, and you, if you're struggling with the pronunciation or the writing of this one, I'm going to give you this word, okay? He's omniscience. He knows everything. He is all-knowing. He is all-seeing. This is powerful. So number one, he's all-powerful. Number two, he's everywhere. Number three, he knows everything I'm going through. There'll be nothing ever that will get by God. There will never be, oh, hallelujah. There will never be a problem. I'm going to try to calm down a little bit and teach some this morning. There will never be an issue that will slip by God in your life that he don't know about. Yes, I heard that, Holy Spirit. There will be nothing that will ever slip up on God. There will be nothing ever catch him off guard. There will never be nothing ever come that will take him out of his place or him not be in his place. Because he is all powerful, he is all knowing, and he is ever present. And that's why the writer said, the God that I know, he don't ever slumber and he don't ever sleep. So he is all powerful, he is all knowing, and he is all present in every situation that we face in life. So I am trying to bring faith to you this morning that when you feel like you're outnumbered, you stand up and say, God, you're all powerful. God, you know what I'm going through. God, you know the place that I'm in, and you are, here it is, you are my divine helper. Man cannot help me in this. Doctors cannot help me in this. Psychologists and psychiatrists cannot help me in this. But God, you never slumber and you never sleep, and you are my divine helper. Praise God. So number one, he is my divine helper. Praise God. Okay, number two, God is, well, I wish we had split screens now because we really need to see that verse four again. But go, you, Don, you stay in 91. Paula, you go back to 121, and verse, and wasn't it in number verse number four, the God that keepeth Israel.
Yeah,
yes.
Behold, he that keeps Israel.
Okay.
Sleep.
Okay, so the God that keepeth Israel, verse number four, the God that keepeth Israel is your God that keeps you. You know what the Bible says? He can keep you in the hollow of his hand. When that storm starts raging, that wind starts blowing, he just takes his other hand and overshadows you. And the devil can't even find you. God has got you covered. God has got your back. The devil's looking, where are they now? Where are they now? Where are they now? You say, well, Robert, now I don't believe that. I'll prove to you by the word of God that the Bible said that Satan came up before God walking to and fro trying to find somebody he could tempt and test. And he came up before God and God said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, all I can ever see about him is his mailbox. You got him hid so good I can just see his mail, getting his mail every day. He's hedged around. He's covered around. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I can't get to three. I want to go to three so bad, but I gotta get this number two. He is our divine keeper, the God that keeps us, that keeps us. He never slumbers or he's never asleep. He is totally aware 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days, you are guarded. Praise God. Now, Miss Barb's got an alarm system. If you go into her house when she is not there and that system is set, it will just be a matter of minutes. The police will show up. Because she's done that before. Why? Because she pays a monthly fee to be protected. But I want to tell you, there's a greater protection service than that. There is a God, the black one. My God that I know, he keeps me. Oh my goodness. Don, I want you to scroll up on Psalms 91 a little bit. I'm going to go back to one, but just scroll up to, let me read some more verses, okay? Psalms 91, scroll the other way, because there's a verse, okay? Scroll again, he'll never suffer your foot. Oh my, help us. Would y'all please pray that we get everything set back up? Where we can see things, and it's not Don's fault. I just need where you can see this. Okay, verse 12, okay? Verse 12, let's go back to verse 11, okay? Look at verse 11 on the screen with me, please. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. I'm talking about a divine keeper this morning. He will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all of your ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Praise God. We have a divine keeper that will keep us. Praise God. A divine keeper that will keep us. So it doesn't matter where you are. He is omnipresent. It doesn't matter what you're going through. He's omniscient and he knows about it. He doesn't matter what you're going through and what the odds are against you and you feel like you're outnumbered. He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. You've got to realize who's keeping you. Many years ago, they told the story of a mother hen, and it was here in the Kansas prairie, and there was a storm coming up, and she seen that storm coming up, and she began to cluck. I'm not going to do that this morning. She began to cluck like a mother hen does, and as she clucked, those little biddies. Now in the South, a biddy is an old woman, but it's the little biddy is a tiny chick. Okay. It's a tiny baby chicken. And that cluck was a warning that there's a storm coming and I am your protector. And they came over there to her, and she opened up her wings. And I can't get to verse my third point yet, but that's so powerful to tell. She over... Don't go there, Miss Barb. I'm not there yet. And she pulled them in underneath her. And that storm blowed, and her feathers were ruffled, and the sand was blowing into her eyes, and she just hunkered down right there. In just a little while, the storm was over, and she dusted off like they do, and opened up her wings like a garage door, and them little old baby chicks come out of there, and they never even knew that there had been a storm. You know why? Because the storm was greater in Mama than the storm they were facing. Praise God. I want to tell you, there is a storm of faith inside of you that can make you stand up when everything's going wrong and decree and declare it's about to change. It's about to change. It's about to turn around. Glory to God. I wish I could preach it like I feel it this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to Moshe Hilebuku Mustaladeste. Hallelujah. There was a time that the prophet of God was going through a storm. He had just called down fire from heaven, Sandy. He had just killed 850 preachers and prophets. And he got a letter one day from an old woman by the name of Jezebel. And the Bible said the man of God ran for his life. And he got up underneath a juniper tree and he said, God, let me die. He wanted to die. He wanted suicide. He wanted death to come and end his misery. And God had other plans. And you know what? God sent an angel and baked him a cake. Sometimes that's all a preacher needs. Baked him a cake, and it was an angel food cake. You know, they had some strawberries on it or something. And them angels fed him angel food. He went to sleep like, you know, probably done. He was exhausted. He was wore out. Let me tell you. When you get emotionally spent and you get physically spent, you can't fight the battle. Are you listening to me? When you get physically spent and you get emotionally spent, you become spiritually bankrupt nearly. And it's even a challenge to get a word of faith out. But let me tell you, when you're at that moment, there is someone going to step in and keep you. When you feel you're outnumbered, you don't know it, but you're kept. And he went to sleep. That angel didn't leave. That angel, what did it say? God said, I'll send angels. And they're in charge of this. Yes, they're in charge of your situations. I want to tell you right now, if we had the eyes to see, even as I preach, there are angels encamped about us in this very room that we're in. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Why? Because there's an angel of his presence. I got to slow down because I want you to get every point of this. I was awakened at 1 o'clock with this morning. What do we do when we're outnumbered? I was awakened at 4 o'clock. What do we do when we're outnumbered? I'm telling you four things to do. Number one, I told you we have a divine helper. I'm talking about a divine keeper now. Elijah, the man of God, woke up again and they fed him. And the angel said, you better eat. For your journey is great. All you can see, Elijah, is what you're going through. All you can see is what's happening to you. All you can see is the letter that you got. All you can see that there's nobody else that's serving God but you. Nobody's ever went through this. Nobody has ever faced this. Nobody's ever went through what I'm going through. And I want to tell you, there's a verse, and I wrote it down. 1 Kings chapter 19 and 17. 1 Kings 19 and 17. God said to the prophet, Elijah said, I am the only one that's never bowed down to Baal. And God said in chapter 1, in 1 Kings 19 in verse 17, he said, you missed the number. You thought you were outnumbered. You thought nobody else but you were going through this. You thought nobody else loved God. You thought nobody else was reading their Bible. Nobody else was praying. Nobody had ever went through this. Nobody else had ever faced the mountain you're facing. And God said, I got 7,000 that ain't bowed and kissed the Baal. I got 7,000 you never even knew about. Praise God. You know what? If we're not careful, we get to talking about the things that are against us versus the things that are for us. Praise God. You get to thinking, you know, the people would say, well, you hadn't people everywhere. You sold your house. You sold your house. They get to thinking about all the things where, man, that's against you. You hadn't sold your house. No, we haven't, but we got a new roof on the ministry center. We got new windows in the house. We got a new garage door. We got new carpet downstairs. We got the house painted. We got the ministry center painted. We got all the wood rot taken care of. Oh, that's what I'm not looking at the house not being sold. I'm looking at the things that has got done. Amen. There is a God that will keep you when all else fail because he is your divine keeper. I've got this. I've got this. I love it when God says, this is not your battle. This one's mine. I've got it. I've got your back. I've got your front. I've got your sides. I'm going before you. I'm behind you. I'm to your right. I'm to your left. There ain't any way you can look that I ain't got you. You can look any way you want to. I got you covered because I'm your divine keeper. I have been appointed, angels have been appointed, sent from ministering angels to watch over us. Lest we dash our foot against the stone, there are angels that will keep and watch over us. I remember years ago, I don't know if I get all of this. Years ago, Sister Gail Myers, our missionary in Mexico, the first out of the country that I went to was Reynosa, Mexico. I was 16 years old, me and Dale Havens and Teresa Harris and Polly Seward, and went down. Two of those have passed away. I just thought about that. And Dale Havens and Sister Polly. And we went down to Old Mexico to Sister Myers. And I remember, oh, what a time Brother Don Rich was preaching the conference. I hadn't been saved but a few months. And man, here I was doing missionary work already, 16 years of age. And I about to lose track. I gotta don't want to lose track of what I was going to say. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, she told this story that many years ago in Mexico, doing missionary work, they had pitched up a big tent. They were going to have a tent, a revival, and they'd sent out flyers and everything. And they had a big crowd. It was overflowing. I mean, it was just a massive amount of people there, and they was preaching the gospel, having church. People was getting saved. And there were some robbers seeing them, and they knew that they were easy prey. They could come and rob all the people underneath the tent. They could rob from the offering. And there was robbers camped out that night around that tent, going to storm there in a matter of minutes. And they got everybody in place, and they were just about to storm. And as they seen that, they stopped. And the next day, they went and found the missionary and said, we didn't recognize that army that was going around your tent all night last night while you was having church service. And the missionary said, I don't know what you're talking about. An army? They said, yeah, we're robbers. And we were coming to rob you last night. And we were just as we started to rob you, there was an army that came in and started marching around your tent and wouldn't let us come in to rob you. The Bible said, the angels of the Lord encampeth about those that fear God. We have a divine keeper. Oh, we have a divine keeper. He will not let your feet touch the ground and be crushed by the enemy. There's someone that's got their hand upon you right now. You say, Robert, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm going to tell you, you don't know what you're going to. Quit looking at what you're going through. Start looking at what you're going to. Praise God. We have a divine keeper. God says, I will keep you. I don't never slumber. I never sleep. I am taking care of you. There's a story. Paula, find 2 Kings real quick. 2 Kings chapter 15. Chapter 6 and 15. 2 Kings chapter 6, and I think it's verse 16. I've got so many places marked here. Verse 13. I'm going to read verse 15 of chapter 6, okay? Write this down. 2 Kings. Quit looking. Just write down and look later. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, I am speaking this morning on what to do when you feel you're outnumbered. When the servant of the man of God risen early and gone forth, behold, there was a compass, a host that compassed or encompassed or surrounded the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Or what shall we do? You better write these down. You're going to need this. And he answered, fear not. 360 fear nots in the Bible. There's a fear not for every day of the year. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. You feel outnumbered? Listen to what God says. You think there's more with them? If you only knew how many with us. Now, help me, Paula, keep it verse 17. Okay? Okay, we have a divine keeper. I've already read to you, the angel shall bear thee up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Angel keeping you. How strong are angels? The Bible said that one angel came in one night and killed over 100,000 people in the Old Testament. 170? One angel killed 185,000 enemies in one night. One angel. Remember when Jesus was there in the garden and they wanted to defend him? He said, don't you know? Do you not know that I could call and my Father would send a legion of angels? Now, a legion was 6,000 marching men. In a Roman, they were an infantry, 6,000 marching soldiers, 6,000. Remember when he cast the demons out and said, my name is Legion? A legion was 6,000. One angel. I don't have a calculator. Okay, more than 12 legions of angels. Okay, remember, one angel killed 185,000. Okay, remember, one angel killed 185,000. Jesus said, you got a divine keeper here today. Jesus said, don't you know that I could call 12 legions of angels? One angel killed 185,000. A legion is 6,000. 12 legions is 72,000 angels. At that present time, Jesus was saying, my Father can send 72,000 angels if he needs to. And if he does that, he'll wipe the whole world population out. I don't need your help. I've got a divine keeper. I've got a divine keeper. So when your lips are bumping against the road and you feel like I can't go any further and all these things are against me, and if you only knew what I was going through, remember, He is all powerful, He is all knowing, and He is everywhere, and He doesn't slumber, He doesn't sleep, and you do not have to remind Him like He has forgot. Let me tell you how great your divine keeper is. Boy, this is an anointed morning. You've got such a divine keeper that He said, I've got every one of your hairs on your head numbered. Now, for some people, that's not a lot. I went to the barber yesterday. I generally lose 10. I weighed this morning and laid a pound less. Give or take, whatever. And my barber, he said, Robert, you know it's been since June the 28th you were here. I said, good, 3 months. I can come 4 times a year. Yeah. Some go every week, every 2 weeks. Uh-huh. And boy, he said, I never cut as much hair off of anybody except for you. Amen. And boy, everybody tells me I look younger and I look. I know it. Just tell me more. Tell me more. Number one, you have a divine helper. Yeah. Number two, we'll pick back up next week. You have a divine keeper. We didn't get to Psalms 91, maybe next week. Read it. It is powerful. I wanted so much. There's other stories I wanted to tell. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to tell a story next week of the miracle that God gave us when we were facing possibly one of the biggest mountains in our life, right here on this 7 acres. And we're going to tell the whole story. So Paula, if you don't mind this upcoming week, lay it out point by point, how all that. Don't go into full details. I don't want full details. I just want bullet points, you know, all the way down to the song, the skit they were doing. I've lost everything but my praise. It's brother, you know, Jim Jimenez and them and what we've done. So give me bullet points for next week because you want to hear this story and you definitely want to see the verses that God gave us. And we read them all the way down 7 hours. For 7 hours, we read these verses to the Boot Hill of Missouri. You want to hear this story. So God is your helper and God is your keeper. Next week, hopefully, we will talk about God is the one that overshadows you and God is the constant person in your life. When nobody else is there, God is there because He's omnipresent. Father, thank You this morning. Thank You this morning, Father, that You are our divine helper, You are our divine keeper, You are our divine overshadower, and You are our divine constancy, Lord. You are constantly keeping and watching and helping over us. Thank You for Your help this morning, Lord, and Your anointing that we sensed. Praise God. We will preach this message again. Father, we ask it in Christ's name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.